read the different pastimes. Now we have thought like this. Yesterday we heard about Lord Chaitanya doing his Prajmanda Parikram, and on the following evenings now, we will always concentrate on pastimes which are of relevance to us, since we have passed during the day through the places of these pastimes. Now, since yesterday we started the month of Damodar, and we hold it in a different side than the microphone, because see, when this goes out, it goes in here, and then it's a circle feedback. So, therefore, since we are starting the Damodar Vrat, we thought of reading the Damodar Leela, and since in the 10th canto, translated by our Bhaktivedanta scholars, there are many more informations by different acharyas, we thought of just reading the text and the purport, and late on other evenings other devotees might read something else. So the main reason for this katha in the evening is that we should bring the evening to the day to a natural conclusion by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, and then it is greatly hoped that in our dreams we will also in some ways be connected to those pastimes. So we will read text 1 to 2 of chapter 9 of the 10th canto this evening. Shishuka uvacha ekada grihada shishu yashodanandagihini karmantara niyuktasu nirmamanta swayamdadi yani yani hagitani tadbala charitani cha dadi nirmantane kale smaranti tanya gayata. Shishukadev Goswami continued, "One day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maid servants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities." Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshani of Srila Sanatan Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Diwali day or Deepamalika. Even today in India, the festival is generally celebrated very joyously in the months of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt and churn it into butter personally. Since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. In other words, there were special cows which went to herbs and ate special grasses so that the milk would become especially flavorful. And this milk was taken to be turned into milk products so that Krishna would enjoy. And this is a very good example how the inhabitants of Vrindavan, here Mother Yashoda, who had, it seems, her own cows, just concentrated on the pleasure of Krishna. So while churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. So Mother Yashoda apparently all the time was singing different songs about Krishna. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and quality flowers were falling from her hair. Perfect. Anyone who desires to be Krishna consciousness in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Advanced devotees must cherish this description of thinking of Mother Yashoda's feature, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her. And in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. So Krishna wanted the milk from Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. And when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. So, with this, Krishna gives an example, gives a very good lesson. See, he wanted to teach that to take care of him is the first business of a devotee. So why was Mother Yashoda taking care of the milk which was boiling somewhere? And not so forth. Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Mother Yashoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot, and when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Now, there was no doubt that this could only be Krishna. Krishna at that time was sitting on an upside down wooden mortar for grinding spices, and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Mother Yashoda, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached him from behind. Mother Yashoda, it is the purport, was able to trace Krishna by following his butter-smeared footprints. In other words, Krishna must have eaten with hands and feet. She saw that Krishna was stealing butter, and thus she smiled. Meanwhile, the crows also entered the room and came out in fear. Thus, Mother Yashoda found Krishna stealing butter, very anxiously looking here and there. Translation: when Lord Shri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they fail to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. Yogis, mystics. So, I will only read the Prabhupada if we hear new commentaries. While following Krishna, translation continues, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. So, the Prabhupada makes clear that yogis and jnanis cannot enter the supreme abode of Krishna, whereas bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection. This is the example shown here by Mother Yashoda. Krishna therefore confirms that if one wants to capture him, one must undertake devotional service. Bhaktas enter even the planet of Krishna very easily, but the less intelligent yogis and jnanis, by their meditation, remain running after Krishna. Even if they enter Krishna's abundance, they fall down. Translation: when caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying, his tears mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. As he wrapped his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva always worship the Lord by meditation and by service. Even the most powerful Yamaraj fears Krishna. Therefore, as we find in the history of Ajamil, Yamaraj instructed his followers not even to approach the devotees, but to speak of capturing them. In other words, Yamaraj also fears Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Yet this Krishna became so dependent on Mother Yashoda that when she simply showed Krishna the stick in her hand, Krishna admitted to being an offender and began to cry like an ordinary child. Mother Yashoda, of course, did not want to chastise her beloved child very much, and therefore she immediately threw her stick away and simply rebuked Krishna, saying, "Now I shall bind you so that you cannot commit any further offensive activities, nor for the time being can you play with your playmates." This shows the position of the pure devotee, in contrast with others, like jnanis, yogis, and the followers of very ritualistic ceremonies, in regarding the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. The Prabhupada, in commenting this, actually said that Mother Yashoda thought that if I now become too heavy with this son, that he might be spoiled. He might become so terribly afraid that that's not good for his psychological condition. Let us spare him. I mean, let us just bind him down, because otherwise he will just be finished. So, when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance the width of 2 fingers.
Thus she brought another rope to join to it.
So when Yashoda tried to bind Krishna, the rope was too short. The Lord had already shown his unlimited potency by killing Putana, Shakatasura and Parinavata. Now Krishna exhibited another vibhuti, or display of potency, to Mother Yashoda. Unless I agree, Krishna desired to show, you cannot bind me. Thus, although Mother Yashoda, in her attempt to bind Krishna, added one rope after another, ultimately she was a failure. So that's very interesting. Krishna, by devotional service, or accepting devotional service, becomes dependent on his devotee. Just like we will now see. In the beginning, Krishna showed that he was not to be bound, or could not be bound by anyone, but after some time, where he demonstrated this very vividly, because Mother Yashoda, you know, she got ropes and ropes, enough ropes to go 100 times around a football field, but she couldn't go around the belly of her son. This is how Krishna said, no, unless I want, no one can capture me. So this Krishna later becomes bound. Let us continue. This new rope also was short, I mean the one which was joined to another one, by a measurement of 2 fingers. And when another rope was joined to it, it was still 2 fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed. The shortness could not be overcome. Thus Mother Yashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household. And you must understand, there were many ropes. She had a storage with different things used in herding the cows. And there were many ropes, because they had a huge, huge herd of cows. The cows in Braj could not be counted. So they needed ropes. Why? At the time of milking, some of the restless cows were bound around the hind legs so that they wouldn't kick with the legs. You follow? So for that, ropes were used. And Krishna's shoulder had actually, and Balaram's shoulder had actually the imprints of those ropes which they carried in the course of their cow herding activities. So since there were unlimited cows, there must have been an unlimited number of ropes. But even when Yashoda took all of them, they didn't fit around the belly of Krishna. Thus Mother Yashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household. Mother Yashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. Everyone, including the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were enjoying the fun. So we will just read a little longer. This chapter is almost finished. Then we will also finish. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda.
Oh Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in the pastime. So this is important. In this Sanskrit shloka, there is a word called vritya something. Vritya vashyata. Vritya vashyata means his transcendental quality of becoming subordinate to his servitor or devotee. Now, this word does not mean that Krishna actually becomes subordinate to the servant or to the devotee. It does not, although the translation reads like this, it is explained here in the purport that this means that Krishna becomes controlled by the love, not that the devotee becomes the Ishvara, you know, but the love of the devotee induces Krishna to become the devotee's servant. Like once, Vidura, in pure love, offered Krishna a banana, but instead of giving him the banana fruit, he gave the peel. He was so excited and bewildered that he mixed the two up, and Krishna took it. He didn't took it because he didn't dare to say, Vidura, you, why don't you give me the fruit? He took the peel because he saw that love of the devotee and he wouldn't disturb that. He was tasting the love. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who's always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. The Vrindavanavasis, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis, with whom he dances, have very intimate relationships with Krishna, and if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya Siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in Sadhana Siddhi follow in the footsteps of Krishna's Nitya Siddha associates, such Sadhana Siddhas also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. See, that's actually the greatness of this Brajmanda Parikram, sleeping souls. By following the footsteps of the Vrindavan Navashis, like Mother Yashoda, we can actually obtain the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is unobtainable to yogis and jnanis. It is described that even if the yogis would go with the speed of mind through the universe, they couldn't even come close the effulgence which is emanating from Krishna's toes. That's not possible. But by following the Vrindavanavasis, the footsteps of the Vrindavanavasis, then this is possible to obtain Krishna. See, we here in Vrindavan Parikram are following these footsteps. Imagine, through this land which you are traversing, all these great associates of Krishna who went directly into Krishna's presence were walking. We follow that footsteps and we also directly go into Krishna's presence. When we approach the deities, we directly come into Krishna's presence at these particular lila sthans, these places where Krishna performs his activities. So that should be the mood. Now Krishna's two griha krite shu vyagrayam matari prabhu adrachit arjuno purvam guyako danadat majo. Paramahansa Yashoda was very busy with household affairs. The Supreme Lord Krishna observed twin trees known as Yamala Arjun, which in a former millennium had been the demigod sons of Kumara. So, just to finish this leela, once the sons of Kumara, called Nala Kumara and Manigriva, in an extremely lusty way, enjoyed very erotic pastimes with girls at the hill of Kailash, where the Nandakanana gardens are situated. Now, it so happened that Narada passed by that scene of enjoyment. I do not know if you can imagine, in this is a very great enjoyment for a materialistic person, sex. And sometimes rich men, they will have a swimming pool full with naked ladies, and then, anyways, we don't want to mention all of this, what they do. You can easily imagine. So Nala Kubera Manigriva did the same. They had a lake full of naked women, and they were drinking this alcohol, but just alcohol. They didn't drink alcohol. They drank this special beverage, completely intoxicated. They were just enjoying like mad. So in this scene, Narada Muni came. Now the ladies all dressed themselves, but Nala Kubera Manigriva were too drunken. They didn't have the decency. And therefore, Narada Muni cursed them to become naked trees. Prabhupada said once, when commenting the hippie movement, that many of these hippies just become naked trees standing in the cold without any dress. So, but when they heard the curse, they begged the pardon of Narada Muni, who then, pleased by their prayers, told them, "I can't really take back the curse, but I can make it good for you. You can be born in a future lifetime in the court of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna will deliver you." So when this happened long ago, Narada Muni said, "Krishna will appear in the end of Dwapara Yuga, then you will take your birth there." So this is what exactly happened. Krishna looked at these two trees. He was bound to this grinder, and he dragged then with his hands the grinder, which got stuck between the trees, and then he ripped the trees down. And as a result, the two persons, Nala Kubera and Manigriva, they were actually delivered. And they could go back to their own planets as the sons of Kubera. So this is in essence the Damodar Leela. So when you go before the Lord and bathe your life before the Lord, you can remember this pastime. Meditate about how Krishna was bound by the love of his devotee Yashoda. And let us simply hope to one day be able to follow the footsteps of Yashoda, who had so much love for her little son that she got the idea to make a special yogurt for him. The yogurt from milk kept by specially trained milk cows who went to specially lawns or meadows with herbs and so on, so that their milk would become very fragrant and tasty. So even while in this material world, by remembering these pastimes, from time to time, let us become happy in this material existence. Here in Braj, let us fully immerse our restless minds in this pastime. Rupa Goswami prays, O my Lord, the calm of my mind has wandered off from the river of your flowing pastimes. And it has gone into the desert of material existence. Now you, who are a transcendental cowherd boy, take your stick and drive the calf of my mind away from the desert to the wonderful river of your flowing pastimes. This is how our Rupa Goswami has prayed it. This is a very wonderful prayer which we can realize at this wonderful occasion of Braj Parikram, where we actually are overwhelmed by pastimes of Lord Krishna. From our very lovable guide, we hear every day the different pastimes in great detail. Let us train our mind to listen to this. Let us not allow how it wanders off somewhere in outer space, in the desert, which is not in Vrindavan, but on the mental platform. Hare Krishna. Sri Damodar ki jai, Kali Mant ki jai.